2 Corinthians is my favorite book of the New Testament, and this is my favorite chapter of the New Testament because 2 Corinthians is Paul's most emotive book. He talks a lot about his own emotions, how he feels about how the Corinthians are acting, how the Corinthians are treating other Christians, and how they feel towards Christ. And if you know me at all, as Pastor Flynn knows, I have a tendency to be slightly emotional. So I really enjoy this book. But before we talk about all of the things that 2 Corinthians talks about, there's a few things that we have to get straight. And I would say that these things are basic Christian principles that I'm assuming all of you know already, but we have to have them in our mind in order to understand what's going on. First of all, that Christians are supposed to fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is not being afraid of the Lord, but knowing that the Lord is in control and actually believing that he is in control of his own universe. And guess what? You are not. We also have to know that Christians believe that Christ, when he came to earth, ushered in a new creation, the new kingdom of heaven, that is not like how the Jews wanted it to be, but he actually showed us who God is because, guess what? He is God. And these are all really good things. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his faith. He allows us to serve. These are not new concepts, but I'm hoping that we understand them a little bit deeper today. So what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 say? The love of Christ controls us. That's a hard concept. That's one that we don't talk a lot about in the church, that we are not simply robots doing whatever Christ says, but that Christ actually directs us to do his will here on earth. Why? Because he died for all. Christ died for everyone, regardless of whether or not they are Christian or not. That is another concept that we don't talk about a lot in church. But everyone will die because of our sin, and Jesus died for everyone. So verse 15, those who live, being us, Christians, no longer live for ourselves. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, giving you his own life. The life we live is not to ourselves, but it is to Christ. Verse 16, so we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. Because at one time we regarded Jesus according to the flesh. What does that even mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, the meaning to the first commandment. We should all have that memorized, right? What does this mean? What does it mean to see someone according to their flesh? Well, let's talk about Jesus first. What would it mean if we regarded Jesus according to the flesh, like a lot of non-Christians do? We would see him as a teacher. He was a really wise man, and he said a lot of really cool things, but that's it. We would regard him as a miracle worker. He was a very skilled healer, and he went all around Judea and Galilee and Samaria healing people, but that's it. We would regard him as a moral example, something that we are supposed to live up to because he was a very good person, and that would be it. Or maybe we would just simply regard him as dead because, after all, he did die. So everything that he would do would not matter to our own lives. Maybe we would see Christ as irrelevant. Because after all, nothing he really talks about in the Bible applies to me today. You ever heard that one? One way to get my blood boiling is to say that to me. Or to say that Jesus is simply insufficient to handle today's problems. As if God didn't know our problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness." That's what Jesus says to Paul. That's what Jesus says to us. Considering Jesus as insufficient to our needs is one of the worst things that you could say about God. But Paul says that Christians are supposed to persuade others by our words and our actions, based off of what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus. But here's the problem, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that I hope you already know. We're awful at it. We're really bad at showing Christ to other people with our words and our actions. Because sometimes what we do seems to be absolutely crazy. What 1 Corinthians calls foolishness. The world sees us and they see a bunch of fools coming to Sunday service every single Sunday, getting up and not just simply enjoying our lives by reading the New York Times. That we actually believe that God can heal our sicknesses. That we actually believe that Jesus forgives us of our sins. That he listens to us when we pray. That he actually cares about us because he created us. It seems crazy to the world that we come to church and say the exact same prayer every Sunday. The Lord's Prayer. It's ridiculous. But if what we do seems logical, then we're doing it for other people. What are things that we do that seem logical? We say the Lord's Prayer every single week so that we can actually know it. So that we can actually say it. So that we can actually learn it. So when people say to you, "Well, how do you even pray?" You just know. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Saying the words of Jesus is a pretty good thing. I actually heard at a conference a couple weeks ago that the presenter said, if only there were a way that people could recite the Bible every single week, and that they could actually learn the words of the Bible and repeat them week after week after week. Hello? This is what we do in church. Why don't we all come to church and recite the Bible together so we can actually learn it and actually say it to other people? That makes logical sense. To help each other out in our faith journey as Christians. That's what believers do. But 2 Corinthians says that we do not live our own lives. We are not to live as for ourselves. We don't go off and do all of the things that we do according to our own flesh, to what our own flesh wants. But the question is, do we? What are we doing with our week? What are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with our skills to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Now, I don't know where this next example came from. I tried to get it out of my sermon a couple times this week. But for some reason, I feel like someone needs to hear it. So I'm going to say it. And it's probably not going to be popular. When you say to your kids, no talkie before coffee, that is not being Christ to your kids. Kids, when your parents tell you to do something and you simply don't do it and ignore them, that is not being Christ to your parents. When we build up wealth and try to collect as many Christmas sweaters as we can to have a new one for each year, that is not using our wealth well. When we are trying to create new ministries between Cross of Christ and St. Paul Community Lutheran Church, observe, this is probably what we're supposed to be doing. How are we using our time, our money, and our skills for Christ? Because guess what? The life we are living is not our own. Christ gave you his life. So how do we live Christ's life? It's not so much like God is asking you, well, what have you done for me lately? That would be the law, and we don't want that. If we look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the old is gone. The new has come. That's gospel. That's what Paul is telling us, that you don't live your life to yourself anymore is actually gospel. In our minds, it sounds like law, but in God's words, it's actually gospel. So God is really saying to you, you are now free to serve me with whatever I have given you. Because all of those things that you think that are actually yours aren't. They're actually the Lord. So how are you using the things, the gifts, the time, the money, the skills that God has given you for him? How much time do we worry about our boat? How much time do we worry about our vacation home? How much time do we worry about our car? How much time do we worry about all of these things that God has actually given to us to use for God's glory? Question mark? Maybe? Hopefully? I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. The Holy Spirit has to work that in your own mind and in your own heart. Say the same thing another way. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ. And that's a really good concept to try and understand what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is all about. What does an ambassador do? He goes to a country or an event, and he does not say, he or she, does not say what they want to say. They simply repeat the message of the person who is in charge. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are ambassadors not for ourselves, not for our own flesh, not for our own wants. We are ambassadors for Christ. That is the message that has been given to us. That Jesus Christ died and rose again so that we are free to live the life that he has given us in the resurrection. Because he lives, we live too. Because he loved, we love too. The longer that I'm a pastor, the more I see the stark contrast between Christians and non-Christians. When I was visiting my nephew this past month, he went to Sunday school. And in his Sunday school afterwards, I asked him, well, what did you learn today? Because that's my favorite question as a former teacher. Well, what did you learn today? And he told me, well, I learned that some people are bullies.
True.
I learned that we are supposed to be nice to bullies.
True.
I learned that we are supposed to be kind to everyone.
True.
But why? Do not non-Christians say the same thing? I know plenty of non-Christians that are very kind people. I know plenty of Christians that preach love above all else, which is a good thing. But if Christ is not in it, it's not Christian. To say, well, I need to be nice to a bully because that's what I'm supposed to do, is not the right answer. The right answer is, I'm supposed to be nice to a bully because Christ made him and Christ loves him. And I now live for Christ because I believe that he died and rose again for my sins so that I can live eternally with the Father in heaven. So what do non-Christians spend their energy on? Themselves. They see how much they can collect, how much they can earn, how much they can maybe waste. They can be nice and they can love as well. But what do Christians spend our energy on? Or, in other words, what are we supposed to spend our energy on? The things of Christ. Heavenly things, things that last, that rust and moth will not destroy. We pray, praise, and give thanks to Christ, who works for the good of those who love him. Someone asks you, well, what do you believe? You say, I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. You go on, right? Someone says, how do you pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As a Christian, how do you know what God's will is for you? It's a hard question for some people. I think it's the easiest one of all Christianity. How do you know what God's will is for you? Well, open up your Bible and read it. And he'll tell you. The end, dot, com, enter, tab, new paragraph. If we are in Christ, if we are Christians, we are a new creation. That is what he has given us. God did not just simply uproot the evil and leave our hearts completely traumatized. He uplifted the evil out of our hearts and implanted in us the new creation so that we can live for him, instead of living according to the flesh. We have been called to see the higher purpose. We have been called to see the things of God. As you go and live your life, as you leave Cross of Christ today, go out and live your life. But know that it's not your life. You're living the life that Christ has given you. You have been made into a new creation to go out and serve people, serve his creation in the unique way that he has made you, to love others and the world as Christ would love them, to show them the faith that the Holy Spirit has put into your heart, And the thing that I love about Christianity is that there's 100 people in this room or more, it's going to look completely different for each and every one of you. God is a big fan of individualism. He's given you unique gifts, unique skills, unique various amounts of money, which is okay, to use it for his will. What better thing can there be? What better freedom of the gospel could there be? What better gift could there be? And you have it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.